Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Signs of the End Times. Prior to this message, Pastor John has used Matthew chapter 24 as a text to bring out the signs of the end times and previously covered deception, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, and pestilence. In this message, he deals with the sign of offense, which plagues the Christian churches today. When Jesus was arrested, all his disciples forsook him. It was not until after the resurrection and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the dejected and fearful disciples became bold. If the men who had walked with Jesus for more than 3.5 years could be defeated, shouldn't you be alert and examine your walk with Jesus as well? Is the Holy Spirit working through you? Whether you have been offended or not, this is the perfect message to help heal or inoculate you from the sign of offense. It is entitled Part 3, Many Shall Be Offended. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, July 5th, 2009. And today I'm starting, I am continuing a series of sermons I did about 5 years ago, called Signs of the End Times. And today I'm going to be speaking on Many Shall Be Offended. First of all, I want to say this before I pray here to those of you that are with us via the internet, later on via DVDs and whatever you're watching or listening to us, that it is an absolute miracle we are here today. I want you to know that we were not able to pay the last of the rent until the last day. We paid it on the 29th when we scraped up and we were able to pay it. And to those of you that are watching us, remember this, that this is our studio. This is where we installed all our equipment and everything else. If we lose these facilities, we are not going to be able probably to do a broadcasting like we're doing now. So it is important that you, if you're listening, viewing us, watching us, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from you on a monthly basis to keep us going. Because, as you know, California is in financial trouble and giving has been down for us. Now, I'm praising God that I'm able to stand here myself. And I'm not saying this, I don't want you to feel sorry for me or for my wife, but we have not been paid since about mid-May, and we are simply living on grace, borrowed money and so on. And so we decided this, we needed to keep the facilities first of all, and then we come second. We've been able to pay all of the salaries, all of the bills, so you pray for us, because you know, we still need to eat and have a place to live and so on. So I just want to share that with you. And it's a miracle that we are here the first Sunday in July. God has blessed us. Let's stand and have a prayer for our sermon right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That, Lord, you made it possible for us to pay the rent for last month. Father God, we just barely squeaked by. And we thank you, Father God, for a landlord that is not charging us extra, Lord, but has been willing as we are scraping up the money month after month. And I pray a blessing upon him, Father God, that he is patient with us. And I thank you right now, Lord, as we go to go into the message. Father God, you will keep me calm. Collected, I will not get too excited, that Lord, I'll be able to present this in such a way that people shall understand, be able to take action. And Father God, we shall be victorious as a church, as individuals, in these last days. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving upon us right now. And I give you great praise and worship now in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, amen. You may be seated. In January 2004, I started a series entitled Signs of the End Times. I preached two sermons and then God gave me another assignment and I never finished the series. 5 years later, the Holy Spirit has led me back to finish what I started because much has happened in that time. In 2004, no American could foresee that in just a few years, the housing market would collapse, bring down the entire economy. Who would have believed that the mighty General Motors would end up in bankruptcy, be forced to sell off much of its assets to be taken over by the U.S. government, or that Chrysler would go belly up and sold off to Fiat of Italy? I want to add something to here as I read this. And this is something that most of us don't understand. General Motors and Chrysler have had stocks for years that have been on the stock market. Not thousands, but millions of Americans for the last 30 to 40 years purchased stocks, General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford, and so on. And they were simply having them for retirement, income, and so on when they get older. And when General Motors and Chrysler went into bankruptcy, it was a Marxist socialist event that took place. The companies had been given over to the U.S. government, part to Canada, the Canadian government. They are now the owners, plus some other players that came in. Every stockholder lost their stocks. They were simply stolen from them. If you had stocks at General Motors, they are today worthless. Gone. Wiped out. That's a theft on a grand scale. But you see, since the media don't talk about it, you don't get it from the Three Stooges and so on, no one of us understand the tremendous theft of billions of dollars that was simply wiped off the books and taken from American citizens. They lost it. Many of the suppliers to these companies were simply told, we're going to write off. You're not going to get paid for what they owe you. Just go home, cry in your milk, and forget it. It has been a devastating blow behind the scenes. In the meantime, everybody's laughing and saying, we have a good time. If I would have known that in 2004 and spoken that, I could have made some money. But we don't know in advance. Unemployment is currently at an all-time high of 9.5% in America. And we know this could rise to 10%. In city after city, county after county, police and firefighters are being laid off. Juvenile detention centers closing with the offenders being sent back out on the streets. Even adult prison inmates are being let go. Let me say this here because I'm speaking prophetically right now. I want to lay a platform for the next five, six sermons or so I'm going to do. Back in the 1970s, the Democrats that were running the state decided that they needed more money. And they legislated and so property taxes were increased. And there would be 2 to 3 to 5%. And then as the housing market went up, particularly in the Los Angeles area, we had older people that had purchased property back in the 40s, maybe pay $25,000, $30 for their home, $25,000, $30,000 for their homes. They had them paid for. They were retired. They were living in their homes. Suddenly, they got a letter from the assessment office, the county assessor, saying that due to property value, your home, which was worth $25,000 when you bought it, is now assessed to $400,000. And your taxes now would go from maybe $300 to $400 a year. They went up to $10,000 to $15,000 a year. And people in the United, in California at that time began to lose their home. The older people were losing their home. They couldn't pay taxes. There was a tax revolt. Harvard Jarvis was the one leading it. And they were running for Proposition 13. Proposition 13 simply said this: property tax can be no more than 1% of the value. They cannot up the value year after year. Whatever the property is worth when you purchase it, it stays that way. If you stay in the home for 50 years, that's the tax you pay. If you sell it, then of course they can up the taxes because the value goes up. We've been living on that now for probably about 20 years or so plus. The Democrats want to change that. They want to throw Proposition 13 out. And what you see now with a budget, but I have no budget in California, is a man-made process, well thought out. If you notice this, the Democrats started approximately 5 days before the time was up to have a budget. They said, now let's start and negotiate. The first thing they came out with was a tax on cigarettes and on big oil. And that was passed. And guess what? Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed that and simply said, no, we're not going to have that. That would have brought some money in. Schwarzenegger, the Republicans, and the Democrats alike, they have a plan: destruction of Proposition 13. Last week, they started a movement in San Francisco. You know that place is, you know, a hotbed for you know what. And they have started a grassroots movement now to have a proposition, not a proposition, but you call it an amendment, on the ballot in the fall, to overturn Proposition 13 and to bring in the revenues for the state. You know what that's going to mean? It means that those of us on fixed income, our taxes will go up. We will lose our home if we can't pay it. Those of you that are renting, your taxes will go up because the landlords would have to increase the rent because they cannot absorb higher taxes. We are in now, in California, in a tremendous squeeze, which is part of the end times, because what they want to do is they simply want us to be under the thumb of a world government. If you and I do not start praying now, banding together and moving and doing things, it will happen. You and I have enjoyed Proposition 13 because men and women 30 years ago plus fought, organized, and drove this home. It is not for us to try to keep that. In today's job market, no one is talking about getting a raise anymore. Instead, most people are willing to take a pay cut just to save their jobs. America has been humbled. And this is just the beginning. A portion of Jesus' prophecy has come true in America and in other nations around the world. And I want to read right now from Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. That's Luke 21, 25, 26. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are come on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You can have no revolution without chaos or oppression. When a nation is prosperous, everybody has work, and we have food on the table and so on, no one is going to go out and say, well, I'm going to start a rebellion. Everybody's busy enjoying life. But if you can create chaos, you can have people on the streets, and they're going to begin to say, we want a revolution, we want change, because we cannot live like this anymore. We are in a worldwide recession that is rapidly developing into a deep depression. Look what I wrote in 2004, if you look in the outline. This I wrote 5 years ago. Christians in the United States are currently living in a state of a honeymoon. We had a good time, folks. We are reaping the benefits of the great revivals which swept America from 1800 through 1950. That sweet time will be over one day unless the current generation turns back in mass to the Lord. The word of God cannot be broken. That day came sooner than I figured out it would come. I preached that February 1st, 2004, under RLJ 910. Turn to me now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you want to pick it up here, in verse number 1, powerful verses. This is what God said. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken. Hearken means to listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you, overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. This was written to Israel. But this is written to any nation that follows God. If you think about in the 50s and 60s and 70s, the blessings just kept coming to us. We had a good time. Good times were rolling. We wasted it on recreation, travels, building certain things. But God said, if you will hearken to me, I will bless you. God wants to bless us, but he wants us to walk with him as he is blessing us. And then he said this, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in your field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall your be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. World War II. The Nazis rose up against us. The Japanese rose up against us. And they were scattered and they were destroyed. We had a communist, the Bolshevik, rose up against us. And they were destroyed. But now, we have been bogged down in Iraq. We got bogged down first in Vietnam. We got defeated. We got licked in Korea. We've been bogged down in Iraq. We're taking heavy losses in Afghanistan, just the beginning. And isn't it amazing that the man that ran for president of the United States said, you know, I'm going to bring the troops home. Yeah, he moved them out of Iraq into Afghanistan. Have you heard Nancy Pelosi stand up and say anything about it? Have you heard Hillary saying, you know, we're going to bring the troops home? Have you noticed they're singing a different song now? It's a different choir. You see, the American people, we are simply bamboozled by our politicians. There's no change. We're still at war. It's just a different war, different place. We were victorious World War II, but haven't been since. The Lord should command your blessing upon you in your storehouses. And the Lord should set your hand unto it. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God give you. He's done that for America. The Lord shall establish you in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. He said, now this will happen to you if you will keep his ways and you walk in his commandments. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. It used to be that nations were afraid of America. Dictators were afraid of this nation. Look at the joker in Iran. Is he afraid of us? He takes us a joke. Look at a madman in North Korea shooting his missiles up, thumbing it at us and putting his tongue out. Is he afraid of us? He's laughing at us. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Up to World War II, America was a lender. Today, we don't lend money. We borrow it. Do you know that China and Japan and the Arabs, they own everything. Do you realize that the stimulus money being spent right now and all the sprucing up they're trying to do is money coming from China? We don't have it. It goes over our heads. And then God said in verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. We used to be the head. Now we are the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. What happened to your 401k? What happened to your investments? They're melting. And then God said, and you shall not go aside from any other words which I command you this day, to the right hand, to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. We did. And then God said this, but it shall come to pass if you will not hearken or listen unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Read the rest of this chapter. It's depressing. God is simply saying this, look, I want to bless you. Not only America, he wants to bless other nations too. If the nation turns to God, he wants to bless every nation on this planet. But he said, if you turn from me, I will curse you. I will have judgment. God is serious. As I prepared, this sermon has been laying here for some, matter of fact, 5 years. And I talked to Charles this week and I said, you know, there's a lot of things happening come in that I'm going to bring out, and it's going to give you just a little tidbit here today so you know what's going to come the Sundays to be. I told Charles this. God had me born in Sweden. He had me to get an education in engineering. I was in mechanical engineering, worked in civil engineering. He brought me to seminary where I got a theological degree. He had me working in a business world. I was running an office, actually two different offices I was running from time to time for a few years. And he gave me an education outside of church. And I begin to realize now that in the end times, there's going to be a technology explosion. And the Antichrist is going to use a technology that you and I have never dreamed existed. Right now, if you really want to understand what's going on in the world right now, is the biggest testing of mind control since many, many years back. Let me talk about Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a rising star. He was way up in the charts, you know, a few years ago. And then, you know, he's a pervert child. Molestation and so on, had a trial. Of course, he paid them off, and you know, he got off scot-free, just like, you know, some other people do. They got some money. And no one paid attention to Michael Jackson. I mean, you know, he was sitting down in some kind of a mansion, you know, and just going berserk, taking his drugs. And no one paid attention to him. Suddenly, the guy dies. Guess what? Every news media dropped their programming, and now they are pumping Michael Jackson. All right? Now we're into high-definition television. Why did we change over from analog to high-definition? So you could have a better picture? Good morning. I have a bridge to sell you very cheap. High definition is running in a different frequency. On that frequency, you can put in disturbing signals that you cannot hear. For years, in the laboratories and hospitals, they've been working on to find out the brain waves of human beings. And I'm sure you've seen it over the years. They put electrode on the guys, so they sit there and they do something to them. You know, they get a grief, or there's a sorrow and joy. So they're trying to locate to see what frequency, what kind of currency is changing the mood of a person. They know how to do that now. I have experience in my family on this, and I'll share it with you later on what we have seen and heard. Now, Saturday, as I watched the news, you know, they're going to have a big memorial, and they had an interview, and this was a bunch of people. There was a young woman, probably about 18, 20 years old, and they got a close-up of the camera, and she said, you know, I have to be at the memorial. I just have to be there. I know I got to be there. And she'll be beside herself, and she applied for a ticket. Why? Because the last week after Michael Jackson died, on high-definition television was signals sent out, creating emotions. You don't hear them with your ears, but they go inside of you. And if you look now, South Africa, Africa and other places all around the world, suddenly people have gone bananas on Michael Jackson. It's an experiment. Because, you see, Michael Jackson is a god with a small g to a number of people. But if you look now how they are pumping up the masses. They are not reporting news. They are making news. And someday, the Antichrist is coming to see. And you're going to see people pumped up and saying, you know, who is like this man? Oh, I love him. I just got to be in that rally. And I got to take the mark of the beast. I want to have it in my forehead. I want to worship him with everything I got. I'm going to be sharing with you some technology as I started researching this week. That you do not even know. Some of you might know they exist, but some of you don't. We are in for a ride that you and I have not even thought about. I'm living close to Beale Air Force Base, which is a large base. They have built up there the biggest radar installation in the United States right now. And from Beale Air Force Base, they cover the entire Pacific to look for incoming missiles if the North Koreans are going to throw them at us or the Chinese. And I noticed, this is a few days, this is probably about a week or 2 weeks ago, I noticed that my mood was changing. I'm going on for about 2-3 weeks. And I realized I would wake up one morning and I would simply have fear in me that I have not had for years. And it was just an emotion of fear. And I walked around in fear. And I said, now, where is this stuff coming from? I'm not fearful. I'm not afraid of anything. And I didn't connect the dots. Another day I told my brother, I said, I'm just distressed today. I'm just beside myself. I don't know what's going on. And then I realized we have a biological warfare, we got electronic warfare, we got all kind of different things. And then suddenly I said, wait a minute, I don't have to take this. I'm going to give you a bonus scripture right now. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is just an introduction to what I'm going to be talking about the next few weeks. And this is going to be something that you need to know, because I tell you what, it's going to affect every one of us. No one is going to escape this attack upon us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you pick it up in verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, that means in the physical, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. What kind of imagination are we talking about? We're talking about projected images into our mind. Now, I told you for years that the demons can read our brain. They can read our minds. They read our thoughts. And you know, when demons are attacking us, they put stuff into our mind, and then when we work on it, they come back and they talk with us back and forth. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Shortly, it's being experimented on right now. You're going to find electronic bombardment into your mind. And you're going to begin to feel all kind of strange feelings. And you don't know where they're coming from. You think, this is me. The Bible says God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need right now to preach this and to bring this message out, because without knowledge, people are going to perish. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I stood on this, I preached on this many years, but I didn't quite know how it was going to come out. And I simply said, I'm not having fear. this emotion that is placed in me right now, I reject it, I destroy it in the name of Jesus. Go! And you know what? It vanished. What you got to do from now on is simply this. You got to monitor yourself. If you suddenly get grieved, lots of sorrow, anger coming up in you, fear or whatever it is, or confusion, stop and simply say, this is not of God. This is someone else putting it in. If it is a demon or human being, it doesn't matter. Let me just shoot this in here, and then I'm going to leave this area here. We could come back later. I got educated. See, I have been educated over the years. And I've been trying to tell people about these things, and I says, well, you're nuts, you know. If I'm a nut, I'm screwed on the right bolts. That's all right. 1979, I had three ladies walk into our church, Christian Life Ministries. And they were upper middle class, and they have held different jobs. They were at that time about 65 years old. And they said, Pastor, we moved from San Francisco up here. We bought a home up in the Foothill area. I used to live on Hillsdale Boulevard someplace. And they said, you know, there's something strange happening. Every night, about 3 o'clock, we are woken up. And we are so irritated, we don't know what to do. And I thought, you know, well, you know, these guys, you know, three of them, same mental disease. I said, you know, well, we pray for you, this and that, you know. So I went up, you know, we pray for them and talk with them. And then one day, I got a phone call from county jail. They had been arrested. Three ladies, normal, worked all their lives. You know, middle class, upper middle class. And say, Pastor, can you come down and talk to us? We're in jail. I said, ladies, what in the world did you do to get in jail? They said, Pastor, we couldn't take it any longer. So we simply got up 3 o'clock when they started that bomb. There was some kind of bombardment. We couldn't feed it in our bodies and our minds. And they took pots and pans and steel handles and things, and they went out in the neighborhood and they clanged on their pots 3 o'clock in the morning, walking up and down the street. And the neighbors called the police. They got arrested. They thought they were lunatics. They wanted to take them in, you know, to the funny farm. I did not know that they were a CIA experiment. I found out later that the CIA had sent in people into Sacramento to move into a regular neighborhood, target a family, and see if they can drive them nuts. Hello? What have you done with the people we arrested from Iraq, Afghanistan? What have you done with the people that we're having in Gitmo, in Cuba? At Guantanamo base. This is the method that was used upon these people to get a confession. It was tested on regular American people here in this city. I got other stories to tell you, but not today. You might think, you know, I don't know if I want to keep going to that church. Let me tell you this. Win for a ride. Fiction is stranger than truth. You keep coming, and I'm going to bring all these things up in the next few Sundays. Let me talk about the signs of the end times. Now turn to me to Matthew chapter 24. That's Matthew, the 24th chapter. You know, I'd rather preach on the Holy Ghost, healing, walking with God, holiness. But from time to time, we've got to put in some prophetic teaching. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. These are the signs of the coming that Jesus gave us. And I read verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deception. If you want to find out more about it, go to the bookstore afterwards, order in these sermons. We have them on audio. We have the outline. You can have that. So you can go back and re-get this again if you haven't got it. If you're watching me right now, you just write us, call us, email us, and we can have this up in no time at all. Sign number two, wars and rumors of wars. Verse number six, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And we have seen that. The third sign, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences. Verse number seven. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We are now in the time of sorrows. I don't know how many more years we have before we hit the tribulation itself. But we are now in the time of sorrows. Have you ever seen the epidemic of tattoos? It used to be that sailors, people in the army, low life people, and prostitutes would have, you know, tattoos. Today, you see everybody that is somebody having tattoos. Upper class, middle class. You know what? They are ready for the Antichrist. They are ready for the mark of the beast. They have been conditioned. Now let me talk about the sign of offense. The spirit of offense is a powerful demonic class in Satan's kingdom. They have been working on human beings for some 7,000 years and have honed their skills to perfection. Everyone who is a backslidden Christian had a visit of a spirit of offense. Everyone that is in a backslidden condition, you started by having a visit by the spirit of offense. You got offended. You could have been offended in your family, offended in church, whatever it was, but offense took you out. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. How many? Many. And then shall many be offended. And when you are offended, what do you do next? And shall betray one another. Look at the divorce rate. Offense. Divorce, betrayal, and shall hate one another. Offense, betrayal, and hate. Let me read from my outline now so I kind of keep myself focused. Jesus said that offense would come in conjunction with persecution. Up to a few years ago, there was not that much persecution in the United States. The enemy worked behind the scenes and through the courts in our nation. The Bible was removed from our public schools and prayer followed afterwards. The assault continued once these fundamental Christian pillars were removed from public schools and all federal and state governments. Christmas displays can have everything in it. You can even throw a fat Buddha in it. But don't put a Jesus statue in there. If there's a prayer in public gathering, the name of Jesus cannot be in it. The end result was that Christians were frowned upon and ridiculed, which caused many to be offended and unwilling to publicly state that they were born again Christians. They had forgotten the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. That's Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now you're going to make up your mind. Are you going to be offended? Or are you going to simply say this, I'm going to confess Jesus anytime, any place, anywhere, regardless of what people are telling me. It's easy to say, yes, amen. We're sitting in an air-conditioned room. You got a fairly decent chair that you bought 25 years ago. And there's no one persecuting you. But what would you say if you were in a clink and you were sitting on a bench? You hadn't had any food for several days. They had played hardcore rock and roll day and night, and they kept you up. Tormented you. Tried some waterboarding on you. And then they would come into the cell and say, now, are you ready to curse Jesus? That's when the rubber hits the road. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. In other words, if you will not confess Jesus, Jesus is going to stand up to the Father and say, that man is mine, that woman is mine, I confess them. Let's give them some power. But Jesus said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus is going to say, I don't want to know that guy. Oh God, he's an embarrassment. Will you be able to hold up? When abortion was legalized in 1973, a fierce battle began as more and more laws came on the books protecting abortionists and their centers of operation. In the 1980s, five prominent pro-life leaders were arrested in Sacramento for violating zoning laws, and during the trial they were found guilty of violating laws, protecting the people, performing murders, and were fined heavily. I know at least two of these men. These were good men, family men, working hard, and guess what? They lost their homes. They lost their cars. They lost their furniture. They fined them, cleaned them out, and put them out on the street right here in Sacramento. Did Capital Christian Center say a word? Did Trinity Church say anything? How about the Baptist churches? How about the Pentecostal churches? Did any church speak up? We try to speak up, but we don't have that much power. But most pastors simply said, you know, all those nuts, you know, going down to the abortion clinics, you know, let them have it. They deserve it. No one stood up for them. Someday, is somebody going to stand up for you and me? These five outstanding American citizens were stripped of all their financial assets and reduced to beggars. The abortion people simply went in, got civil judgment against them, and the sheriff deputies came and took their houses away, their cars, everything else, and simply said, leave. What was their crime? Standing up against murder. Here's a bad result. Many Christians were offended and started to hate the pro-life people. Let me take it out to Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when I deliver you up, take no thought of you or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. Do you understand what has held back this ministry all these years? Money. I've had so many rumors started about us, this church, and the church I had before. Can you imagine if I had a large budget? Can you imagine the damage we would do to the enemy? We would have been on television. We would have kept the radio up. Right now we are on the internet. We would have printed books. We would have done all kind of things. We would have moved hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. We would have simply moved their minds and showed them the truth. But you know what the devil did? He boxed me in and put me in a little place and choked the supplies off. I believe it's going to change. I believe in these last days people are going to realize that we've got to put our money where something is happening, not to all these television evangelists. Charles read to me this week an excerpt out of a Russian paper, Pravda. Pravda in Russia means truth. They put everything except truth in it. They still produce Pravda. That was a state organ. And you know what they did? They laughed at us. And they simply said this, that Obama has done more in a short time than if we would have been over there with a revolution. And he said that stupid television evangelists are like dopers, doping up the stupid Christians. And then he ended the article with, should we congratulate them? That was written from Moscow, Pravda. We've been watched. Our enemies know where we're at. They laugh at us. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. That is a mean salvation. It means that we're going to be rescued if we hang on to the end. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily said to you, you shall not have gotten over the city of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, king of the flies, which was a name for Satan. How much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, yet you speak in light, what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not therefore. you are of more value than many sparrows. There's a time to rise up and to simply say, I am going to have no fear. Once Barack Obama had been installed president, it didn't take long for the Department of Homeland Security to officially label all Bible-believing Christians as possible terrorists. Now, I want you to know this. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in water baptism, the Holy Ghost baptism, you believe in the second coming of Christ, you believe in the King James Bible, you have a fundamentalist, write yourself a sign, I am a terrorist. You know, we should have a t-shirt like that. I am a terrorist to the devil. We should make up a t-shirt. We know when we go to the park and have, you know, picnic, you know, we walk in there, you know, I'm a terrorist for the devil. Can you imagine 40 of us walking in? See Homeland Security come and says, now what's this all about? Now, let me tell you this. See, I'm not making stories up. I'm going to give you this in advance. Deborah was here last week. You remember she sang a song? She sang two songs for us. We were blessed. But she's going to go home Tuesday. And you know what happened Tuesday? When the bus rolled in, the Greyhound bus rolled into the depot in Reno, the bus was met by 4 uniformed police officers with dogs, 2 plainclothes officers, and they walked up, and they simply told the passengers, get out of the bus, we're doing a search. So they all filed out. They got on the bus, and they started going through every package, everything that was on the bus. You know, Deborah is a bold lady. She had a strong voice. So somebody asked her, what's going on? She said, well, this is Homeland Security. New World Order is here. Well, that was overheard. Then as they didn't find the bus, they're going to go back in. And the bus driver looked at Deborah and she said, you know, you ain't coming in my bus. What did I do? I don't want you in the bus. Well, tell them what I did. I don't have to tell you anything. You're not on my bus. Get off. That's America today. July 4th, 2009. If you ride a Greyhound bus, you ride an airplane, or you ride any public transportation, you got no rights. If somebody don't like you, they simply tell you you have to go. Well, praise God, it was the station manager there for that depot felt sorry for another. By the way, the bus driver was a woman. And she was a white woman. So she couldn't have an attitude because of color. Now, the station manager there simply said, you know, I'm very sorry. I'm going to write you another ticket to get you out in the morning. And she had to wait about 10 hours for another bus to come. And the only thing she had done was to say, this is Homeland Security, and begin to talk about what they are doing. That's all you had to do to get kicked out of the bus. She was blessed she wasn't arrested. Now, Homeland Security is not our friend. We'll never be our friend. And this is the first step on a road to a total ban on Christianity during the time of the reign of the Antichrist. Now turn to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. If you read verses 4 through 9. Now think about this. When this nation was started, founded, it was founded by Christians. Christians were honored. The leaders were Christians. It's going to come a time when Christianity is going to be outlawed. We read. And they worshiped the dragon. Now, who is a dragon? Well, if you look in chapter 12, And we will have there a definition. And the definition is found in, let me find the place. It's number 9. Let's read number 9 of 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The dragon is the devil. Let me reread now and put in his name. And they worship Satan, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Homeland Security is a satanic organization. They are going to be leading people into Satan worship. This weekend, everybody talked about the Statue of Liberty. Big deal. They open up the, you know, the flame or the up of the arm, you know. It was a very big deal. Do you know who gave the Statue of Liberty? It was given by Freemasons in France. And if you go back to the initiation, they had a big satanic ritual with a lot of Freemasons once they inaugurated the Statue of Liberty, once they had put it up. It is a satanic symbol. It brings in demonic forces to this land. It's a cursed object. It's a goddess Diana. Whatever goddesses you have, there are different names on it. And they worship the dragon. They worship Satan, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with it? The beast is going to be a political leader. And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blaspheming his God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Good afternoon. Let's look upon that verse. So you're going to be raptured before the Antichrist comes, right? That's what Hal Lindsey told us. That's what TBN is telling us. Pat Roberts and all these guys, they said, don't worry about the Antichrist. You can be raptured. Right? Wrong. Who is he going to make war with? The saints, the Christians. If the Christians are gone, who are these Christians? And it was given to him to make war. That war has started already, folks. With the saints, and to overcome them, and power is given him of all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. I said it before, and I say it again. When the Antichrist comes, the mark of the beast is going to be administered. I'm saying this. 95% of the Christians will take the mark of the beast and be damned. Look at the weak Christians we have in all the different churches. Do you think that those nimby-pandy Christians that are walking around, you know, with a sugar-coated gospel, are going to be able to stand up in a cell and say, I want to take prison, waterboarding, torment, but I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. You know what's going to happen? The pastors in those churches are going to be the first one to take the mark of the beast. Rick Warren will be that proud one to display, you know, I got the mark of the beast up here, and it's not the Antichrist. It is simply against global warming. I'm serious. And you know, the Bible says this, you take the mark of the beast, if you are saved, that's the only way you can lose your salvation. And they're going to take it. And they're going to sit, what we got to eat? We got to live. We got to take care of our children. We got to have them in school. We got to, you know, take them to the hospital if they are sick. And so we can't do. We have to live for our children. Mark my words. You will be in the minority that day. One of the few that will not take the mark of the beast. And I'm not sure if everyone here will be able to withstand the mark of the beast. If you cannot say no to sin, if you cannot say no to smoking a cigarette or taking a drink or taking drugs, how are you going to say no to the mark of the beast? Think about it. The warning of betrayal and offense should not be taken lightly. Jesus walked and lived with his disciples for 3.5 years. They had seen all the miracles, even performed miracles themselves. Yet when it came down to the moment of truth, they all abandoned him and ran away. Matthew chapter 26. That's Matthew the 26th chapter. We pick it up if I can get there. Matthew 26. I want to read verse 56. Matthew 26, 56. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. The verse before, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter, John, James, all of them, the 70 others, they all forsook Jesus and fled. Everyone, ask yourself this question. Do you love Jesus? We sang songs here today about loving Jesus. Are you a name Christian only? Are you a church member only? Or do you have a personal, strong relationship with Him? Do you love Jesus more than anything else? It's going to take the love of God and the love of Jesus. And they, then all the disciples, forsook him and fled. I know how it is when you have a Sunday morning service. And just before you're going to start it, you have 4 to 5 deputies walk in, guns in their holsters. And they're there to serve your papers. We had taken on the witches in Sacramento. And I preached against them, exposed them, and we done a lot of damage to them, so they sued me. They sued the church. They knew exactly who I was. They knew the name of every elder. They knew the name of every deacon. They knew all the leadership. And they came in to intimidate us. 10:30 of the Sunday morning worship. And they walked around and said, "Where's John Terrell? Where's Robert Jackson?" And then he went and served us. And guess what happened to the congregation? I found out those who loved Jesus, and I found out those that were simply fakes. It showed the following Sunday. We had less people. The cowards had gone home. Will you stand up? We really need to pray about this. We need to make a resolution. Why do you think that I've been with my wife doggedly standing, fighting, not getting paid once upon a time we were 6 months without a paycheck? Why do you think we took all that stuff? Because I'm determined to preach and preach and to stay with it. I don't want to fizzle out. What about you? Let me take it out to Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts 4, we read from verse number 7. Powerful verses. And when they had set them, that's the Sanhedrin, Jewish leadership, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? That's going to be a question that you're going to be asked someday. What name are you operating under? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at that, verse number 13. This is a leadership that has said, kill Jesus, crucify him. This is how they spoke to him. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, where did Peter and John get their boldness? We read a little while ago, they all forsook him. On the day of Pentecost, they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire and power. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your cowardice goes out. Your fear goes out. You become a bold person. Because now the third person of the Trinity is moving and pulsating inside of you. Now when he saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, stupid, uneducated, and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with whom? Jesus. How much time do you spend with Jesus during a week? How much time do you spend in front of your television, your HD television, getting massaged for the coming of the Antichrist? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? We read on this chapter. I want to read verse number 23. Let's read verse 18. This is good stuff here. And they called him and commanded him not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. There's going to come a time when Homeland Security is going to say, you can't say this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken or listen unto you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, the church, and reported all that the chief priests had sent to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all them in that is, who by your mouth and your servant David has said, why did he in a rage of the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed both Herod and Pontius, Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before you to be done. And now, Lord, behold our threatenings, and grant unto your servants a free ticket to America if we can get out of this place. For grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It would be wonderful if we could have on a Sunday afternoon here, as we give the benediction, the elders up here praying, that suddenly this building would begin to shake. It will shake around us, and the Holy Ghost will come down with power, and the people in Carmack would say, what's going on? The Holy Ghost is here. I believe it can happen. It will happen if you and I do something about it. You must say now, first of all, if you've been listening to me, you are not in this building. And you say, I'm not even a Christian. We're going to give you right after we are finished here the plan of salvation. You follow that, you read that, you pray that, and you'll be saved. There'll be a telephone numbers for you to call. There'll be people telling you what to do and so on. But you can do it right now. Simply say, my Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be a Christian. Forgive me. Jesus, come on in and be my Lord and Savior. And He will come in and be your Lord and Savior. Now, if you're one of these backslidden, namby-pamby Christians, you breathe like a wet noodle, overboard spaghetti, just waffling in the air. Why don't you today say, God, put some spine in me. Put some steel into me. Let me be faithful. You know, many times we need work. We need people to help us out. And you know, people are flaky. You know, Christians are flaky. You know, they come and go like a tide. The tide comes in and the tides go out. A strong Christian simply says, I will stay with it. I'll finish this project. I will go all the way to the end. Most of the time, people say, well, I don't know if I'm going to show up. You know, wind is blowing that way. You know, the creek might rise. I don't know if the sun is right behind me, you know. I'll see if I show up. Those are Christians. Have you ever wondered, the sinners always show up to their events? You don't have to ask a communist to be motivated. He is. You don't have to ask a Nazi to be motivated. They were motivated. But you ask a Christian, he says, well, I don't know about this. You heard the message. My question is, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Remember this. It is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish. You know, this is what I tell the devil. I put in 39 years in God's kingdom. And I'm not about to simply take 39 years of hard service and just simply say, well, I give up at the end and chuck it because other people are not doing what they're supposed to do. I'm going to keep my crown. So when I come to heaven, I can give it to Jesus. As we give the invitation, some of you here have been called by God into some type of ministry. God has shown me over the last few months, there's several of you here that have been called. Every week, you sit, you have glue on your chair. You need to get up and simply say to one of the elders that in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge today I have been called by God into the ministry. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm called into the ministry. Surrender. April 16th, 1967. I sat in a chair, just as a matter of fact, in the pew. And I got up, and I was so motivated. I've been holding back for 3 months. And I ran up to the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't care what you say, but I have been called to the ministry. I don't know where to go, what to do, nothing, but I'm called. And he said, God bless you, John. I know you're called. And right there, he had the congregation to stand. They prayed for me. He did not know that I was called to be what I have become in later years. God didn't tell me then and say, here's a roadmap. You're going to go here, 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 there. And this is what I'm going to do with you. He simply said, you step up in faith and you get it day by day. Some of you are sick and need a healing. Some of you need to rededicate your life. As you're going to have the invitation, some of you need to simply say, God, help me to be a strong Christian. Let's stand. Elders, you come. Get ready. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. And I want to bless you, Lord, that you are here today. And I thank you gave me boldness today not to hold back, not to sugarcoat anything, but let it rip, Lord, as it is. And I pray today, Father God, for boldness for men and women here, Lord, to simply say, today I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to be anointed with oil today. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be more again filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be healed today. I want to be touched today. I want to surrender today. My Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are here in the building. I pray also, Father God, for all those watching us right now or later, that Father God, in the United States and Canada, Europe, and all over the world, call out people right now. Call them evangelists, ministers, pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers. Call them out, Lord. Call them around the world. And let them right now surrender and be what you intend them to be. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. I'm going to ask Sister Lois to come up and stand here on this side. I'm going to ask Sister Ina if you come up here and stand on this side. And we could have ladies, if you want to go to talk to a lady and pray for them. We have two ladies here and two elders. And you come as God's been speaking to you. The altars are open.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, Signs of the End Times, and was entitled, Many Shall Be Offended. This sermon ended up being much more than what was written on the outline, as Pastor John told how the mass media is brainwashing and using mind control to shape the thinking and behavior of the masses. He continued to use Matthew chapter 24 as a text to bring out the signs of the end times, specifically the sign of offense, which plagues the Christian churches today. When Jesus was arrested, all His disciples forsook Him. It was not until after the resurrection and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the dejected and fearful disciples became bold. If the men who had walked with Jesus for more than 3.5 years could be defeated, shouldn't you be alert and examine your walk with Jesus as well? Whether you have been offended or not, this was the perfect message to help heal or inoculate you from the sign of offense mentioned by Jesus. It is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1193. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.